Just forget to put a season on. Well, first of all, you were born right here in Aberdeen?
Yeah, right after. Might as well say Aberdeen, Potsdale. That's my wife.
Hello.
I don't know his name.
I'm Jim Massey. Jim Massey, Freddy. I'm very well known.
What's the name?
Well, you don't have
Jim Massey.
Massey. Come here.
Massey. M-A-S-S-E-Y. You don't have your friend with you, Miss Taylor?
No. She sets up everything, and then she's the one that actually transcribes the tapes. So I keep her real busy.
You are the one that, you are the narrator.
No. I had to think about that. Well, first of all, I wanted to find out a little bit about who your parents were and where did they live and what they do.
Well, my father was a furniture man. Stores, he had stores all over. And that's where the business went. From here, he went here and married my mother in New Jersey. And he kept working up through Jersey and New York State and ended up in Buffalo, the main places. He had stores in Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Erie, Pennsylvania, and I don't know, just all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going down on us?
Mm-hmm.
So, my mother moved back here in 1904 or 5, and I was born in 1905, June the 7th, 1905. Just on the edge of Aberdeen up here, Swan Creek.
Hmm.
You want it? You got all the answers. She knows what's going on.
Well, I work with it. You don't. You go, you don't handle it. Work with it, write it like I do, Freddie. You know it, but you don't remember it all for the minute because you haven't talked family for years. That is who your mother and father are, because we all know.
Well, you got about the mother and father on there?
No. What were their names? Yet. And
Mary Jane Farley, right? Okay. Joseph Robinson Baldwin.
And he was the son of Timothy Baldwin and Mary Ann Baldwin.
I can't go back.
And they were Harford County people, Freddie.
Well, it's all Harford County, the Baldwin.
Came here in the 1600s.
This is where the Biden mine out in front of the house is where the Civil War was. On the other side was the North. On this side, it was the South.
Now, why is that?
Divided the county.
Is that right?
The state.
And then the state, whatever it is. And then what they would do, they would desert from the North and join the South. But then they would desert back to the North. And one story my father told me, or somebody told me, on the ball, but anyhow, told me that this little guy, my father was a large man. My father's brother was a small man. So he was married to a 6-foot woman. When the South came in after him, he got under her hoop skirt. And they never did find him. And that's what saved him, the hoop skirt, standing under this big woman's hoop skirt. They never did find him. But my father's father was wounded, and then he died, and he buried him in Abington, Cokesbury.
Now, where did you grow up?
Right over there. Right over there. Just across the road, I grew up there. Went to Aberdeen High School. From Aberdeen High School, I went to Calvert Hall. Then from Calvert Hall, right out of Calvert Hall, I went down to the Eastern Maryland for Home Run Baker to play ball. And I was there till Home Run Baker quit, and then they brought this Buck Herzog in there to manage the ball club. And I had beaten his team when I played ball for the Proving Ground when I was Sergeant Snyder for the Second Army Championship, and that old bird kept a grudge on me the rest of his life. I was there 3 days with him, and he fired me because I stole second base. And he didn't even know my batting average or anything else, and I never knew my batting average. So here, a while back, I got the batting average from a book. And I was hitting .294 and fielding .999, but he let me go. But anyhow, after that, in 1926, I went to the Orioles signed me. I went south of the Orioles and slid in second base and tore my leg apart. Never got me a doctor, showed up that day. Sent me home. So 2 years later, they tried to get me to sign up again, and I took nothing to it. From then on, I played ball around the county and around Baltimore City and different places. I was Chattanooga, and I was up in Pennsylvania and different places like that playing ball. And so when I came back from Oriole camp, I started working with a plumber, and I turned out to be a master plumber myself. For years I was plumbing the heating and everything. Mm-hmm. Then the work started to do getting soldiers in here. I went to proving ground, and I was in charge down there for 7.5 years. Day and night, Hazel took care of the house, the family, and everything, day and night, because I was there sometimes 20 hours at a time, sometimes 40 hours at a time. So, just kept on going like this, and then I was superintendent of the town for 10 years. So, Baldwin Manor bought our own property over there.
Swan Meadow.
Bought the 299 house, and then I left the town and went to take charge of all this. We have about 700 houses and apartments. But for the last 20 years, I haven't been doing anything but just going around, and then I was commissioned, you know, do it a couple times. I was a commissioner for Town of Aberdeen. And,
Three times.
See, I tell you, it's the best thing. She can do this, but when I get something like this, I just hush up. I know, 1964. 66. 66, when I was commissioner, 66, yeah. That's where it starts. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Okay, well.
You ran 4 times for county commissioner.
I know.
And then you were a county councilman.
Yeah, I was county councilman a couple times.
Councilman came in
72. Well, he knows that again. 72 is when the council came in. Mm-hmm. But I was chairman of the board there for a while. I'm not used to talking like this.
Well, let's go back to what do you remember as a child growing up here in Aberdeen? What was it like to grow up here?
Well, everything was horse and buggies. Very few cars. We had the first car that Henry Ford made, 6-cylinder. My father and Henry Ford were buddies in Buffalo, and Henry Ford wanted my father to go with him. And he said, "Henry, I got 5 kids. I can't take a chance on this." So Henry Ford had a place no larger than this room here, where he first made his first car in Buffalo. And my father got it, and now that car is an exhibition in Dearborn, sitting right up there. The first 6-cylinder Ford was made, was sitting in there on exhibition someplace. I haven't seen it in the Ford Museum. And then my brother went out there to work for Henry Ford later on. And his older son and Henry Ford's, one of the Elson Ford sons, became buddies. And that young fellow, he went to work for Henry Ford for years. And for about 10 years, he had charge of everything in England for him. And he retired from Ford Company. Mm-hmm. And a great big salary retired on. And 2 years later, the young guy came and got him again to go out to Detroit to take charge of some big tank deal they have out there in Detroit. We never see him, very seldom see him.
I'm going to get a new one for the army. That's it.
So that's where that young Charles Baldwin is working now. So if you're ever out there in that museum, they're at the first ward. They were only four cars with tops on them here in those days. Millionaire overhead had one, and there were two more.
Well, your father was a millionaire.
Well, I'm talking about Grease now. And they used to get racing one up and down these old roads, and they caught one of them doing 50 mile an hour, and they thought they were going to crucify him 50 mile an hour in that old car.
And you remember your father and Teddy Roosevelt?
Well, my father and Teddy Roosevelt were buddies. And if the president had let Teddy Roosevelt take an army to France to fight the Germans, he had 100,000 men signed with him. But the president thought that Teddy Roosevelt would be elected president the next time he allowed, so he wouldn't allow it. My brother joined the Marine Corps. And he was...
How'd you add a name? Brother Joe.
Named after my father. And they sent him down here to the training camp, and he showed he was so good with a rifle, they had him on the first ship going. And they went out of New York 5 times before they finally hit it to England on account of submarines. The Germans had submarines all over the ocean those days. And he went over there, and he got one of the highest honors that France could offer when, 1919, he and another sergeant came home from Tennessee, and when General Foch reviewed the troops at Proving Ground, my brother and this other Marine sergeant walked down the platform, and he left his escort and went over and put his arms around him. Said, if it wasn't for these kind of men, I wouldn't be here today. The Marines would have saved him. And Teddy Roosevelt's son joined the Air Corps, and he was shot down by the Germans.
Kermit.
And the Germans buried him with honors, mind you, after knowing who he was. After shooting him down, they buried him with honors. But I've never heard of this. In 1939, France sent my brother one of the highest honors of the country. In 1939, after 20 years coming home from war, and my brother's dead now. They're all dead with 2 sisters.
Well, now, let's see, did they all grow up here, right here in Aberdeen?
Yeah.
What was your home life like? Did you have chores and things to do, or were you
at school? Yeah, I've had chores since I was 7 years old. I've been firing fireplaces since I was 7 years old. One of them was over there in the big room. We had a family room over where it was 26 to 30 with a fireplace in the end of it. And it was a game room. We had a regulation pool table. I said right then, if I ever built a fireplace, I'd sink it in the floor. Because when I'd fire in a fireplace, we didn't have a screen or anything in those days. The spark got on the floor, my backside got it. So that's why I sunk this fireplace. It's 15 inches from where you step out of that room there to the bottom of that fireplace. And it'll circulate 80 foot away and 1 minute in, 1 minute out to this fireplace. So if you sink one, if you ever build a house, don't build a hearth on it, because you got that much cold air. There's no cold air there. You see how I rigged it up to keep the sparks and everything. We go to bed at night and that fireplace won't heat this furniture, won't heat that furniture. I don't know.
Well, let's see, where did you go to school?
Aberdeen High School.
Now, didn't you once go to the school that was near the railroad track, too?
Oh, that's the one.
School. Oh. No, that wasn't
Route 40.
Miss Morgan had a school.
Oh, I went to private school.
That's right.
Yeah, right by the barber shop up there. That's right. I'd forgotten that. You must have told him.
No, I didn't.
Somebody I interviewed told me a little story about you and getting in trouble in school. They used to say you were ornery. Were you an ornery in elementary school?
Well, the teachers, I wasn't ornery, but the teachers, the Baldwins, when the Baldwins first came here, they blamed the Baldwins for everything. My brothers never got the blame. So when I came along, I got the blame. So finally, the teacher came up to me one day and said, Freddie, I don't think you're doing all this. And from that time on, I was altogether different to them. But they had blamed all my brothers before I got there. I had a brother, honorary as could be, in that school. But it just went along till they found out that I wasn't.
Well, your son, when he came up, they were after him. Yeah. They were jealous.
Same thing.
I've been a jealous. I've been jealousy there all my life because your father associated with the people he did and had what he had.
They didn't want anybody that had any money to tell them anything or do anything.
You were bald and you had to prove yourself.
So, the teachers finally found out it wasn't Freddie Baldwin doing it all. They wouldn't look around the room and say, Freddie Baldwin. I'd say, yes, ma'am. So one day I said to her, now just what were you calling me for? I didn't even know what you called me for. I'd say, yes, ma'am. That was only kid stuff. That was only kid stuff. Because all the principals and everybody, we were real good friends. Mr. Davis, he was here in Aberdeen, Willard Davis. His brother was in Harvard Grace. He had another brother in Darlington, principal of the school. We all got along fine. Then I went to Calvert Hall. We got along fine at Calvert Hall.
When did you get interested in playing baseball?
When I was 13, I played for this high school team. When I was 13. And we had 5 left-handed ball players on that team. First baseman, catcher, third baseman. I played second in those days, and a pitcher. So we had good ball teams up there. Actually, we had good ball teams. We won them. We didn't have any coaches. It was just a principal.
You used to
I ended up being the coach. 1922 or 1923, we won the county championship out where the shopping center is now, where the racetrack used to be in Bel Air. We won the county championship by about 10 points. Never thought Aberdeen, the old Aberdeen, would win the thing, but we won it.
Well, now, in those days, did each community have a baseball team of their own?
Harvard Grace, Aberdeen, Bel Air.
They drew them from all over the county. They were the 3 main ones.
And Jarrettsville. Yeah, these schools, yeah. Jarrettsville and Highlands. That was the most of them. I think Darlington got in on it one or two times. They were small, but they had a good ball team. Well, that's one thing about Harvard County. They had all good ball players.
And they had their own.
They didn't have... Well, a lot of these other teams, like Rising Sun and Prairieville, they hired the ball players. They had big leaguers in here pitching.
Separate your school days playing ball.
That's
Susquehanna.
This is Susquehanna League I'm talking about now. Bel Air, I played for Bel Air in 1926. I was playing for Bel Air, and that was one of the best ball teams ever around here. Mike Kane was a catcher. Roy Cole was a pitcher and a first baseman. The judge's father in Bel Air. Harlan. Eddie Harlan, he played shortstop for Bel Air. Tom Stearns played the outfield. Paul Stearns played the outfield. I played the outfield and I pitched too. And Father Childress from Baltimore, he played for Bel Air in that year.
He was originally from
Paul's. Yeah. He's still in good shape. He's 75 years old. McMahon had played. I think Nellie McNutt was up there too. He was a good pitcher. We won the championship, and I hit, according to John O'Neill's father, I can't find the scorebooks, but he said I hit 556. That's when the Orioles signed me. So It wasn't anything for one of these big league ball players to come down here and get $500 a Saturday to pitch against these teams like Bel Air and places. And we'd still beat them.
Then after World War II, the boys came home.
Well, after I quit the proving ground, I was down there 7.5 years. And I quit the proving ground, I came home, and we started the team.
After World War II,
Yeah, 46.
Say it, you say it.
In 46, we started the team. And I hadn't played in all those years. And I just thought, well, put the younger guys in there. And they lost 9 ball games. The people putting the money up here said, you get in there and play ball. You're not too old to play ball. And we went in, won the next 15, we won the pennant.
Those boys came, even asked you to marry, and they were nervous and just came home.
And they were all young guys. Uh-huh. One of their pictures in there.
It was Joe Lee and Oliver Ripkin and Bill Ripkin.
They're all in it. Billy Ripkin, Oliver Ripkin, and Frankie Miller. All that crowd. And we won for 2 years straight. And then we got second the next year. And so it just kind of faded out. And I went over to Howdy Grace to run the team for Howdy Grace. We won there a year or two. Satchel Paige and all the pro colored guys were over there. I beat them.
That was before 42.
Yeah. No, wait a minute.
Sure, that was when you first joined. That was in the 30s.
33, 34. And I beat them. 3 straight ball games. How much money do you think we bet on those 3 straight ball games? $10,000.
Oh, my Lord.
Man told us last year in Ocean City. He was a man held all the money.
Huh.
That's the reason they never paid no more.
That was an all-colored team. So
yeah, that was all pro.
Black Sox.
Baltimore Black Sox. 6 from Baltimore Black Sox. 2 from Homestead Graves. 2 from Bacharach in New York, plus Satchel Paige. And this Johnson that they put in the White Hall of Fame here a couple years ago, he played third base on that day. What made us win, old Ed Banks, he'd be about 105, 110 now if he'd living. He was at all the ball games I ever played in the county. And sometimes I'd take him if he didn't have a ride. And he stood back to those colored fellas, and I never warmed up on the sideline. I warmed up to our own batters. And if you wanted to come in and bat, I'd let you come in and bat, and then I'd know where you could hit. Old Ed Banks stood behind him. He said, I can't say what he said, because I don't want this on tape. And he told him he saw me kill a man with a ball. So I told Stu Preston, who had gone over to play with me from Aberdeen that day, don't reach for the first ball. I'm going to throw it over your head. So I threw the ball in there, and it hit the backstop so hard it went 40 or 50 foot in the air. And a second baseman caught it 30 or 40 feet behind second baseman on the fly, and they thought he swung at it. And they called him a certain name and asked him why he hit at it. He said, you see that bat? I never moved it. So I ended up striking 17 of them out, eating 1-0. So they played the next Sunday, we beat them 2-1. And the third Sunday, we beat them 3-2 or something like that. I'll get it off our head. Got to turn it way up. And I'll get it. And I never knew why they didn't play. But man met him in Ocean City here a couple 3 years ago. He said why they didn't play no more, because they lost all the money. And Satchel Paige went around these schools telling these schools that the only white man ever beat in 3 ball games was Freddie Baldwin. And I have a boy working for me now who used to go to school when he heard that. He didn't know me then, see. But Paige used to have a real good ball club. I'll get that down.
Now you have to name the man you're telling.
Harold Coffey. He went to Western Maryland. And the story I got that
he was in the county first, went to school in the county.
He went to Tome. He went to Tome up and
we'll put Miss Farrelly.
Oh, that's right.
Mr. Royal Farrelly.
He went to Tome. And first he was in Perryville. And Mrs. Farrelly used to pay him 5 cents a day to come to school. So Then after he got out of Perryville, he went to Tome, and he was star Tome for football thing. Western Maryland took him, and that's when Dick Harlow was there. So the story I get that he married a girl in Western Maryland, the president's daughter or something, and they kicked him out before he got his last degree. So then, I tried to get him a job with a fellow I knew in North Carolina, and he got in the car and was going down there, and he wrecked the car at Churchville, and so he never went. But anyhow, one of his buddies from Western Maryland was coaching Rhode Island. No, Eastern Boston College. So he has Coffee to come up there and go to school to get his other degree and help him on the side with the football team. As soon as Coffee got the degree, Dick Harlow took him to Harvard with him as a coach. And Hickman, you've heard of Hickman. Uh-huh. And Hickman and Dick Harlow was at Harvard. So then, Dick Harlow, after a certain amount of years, he quit. And Coffee, he gets a job at he gets a job in one of those colleges in around Boston there or something. Mm-hmm. And he wins the division championship.
Mm.
Then he went to Massachusetts and he won the division championship there. Then he went to Brigham Young. And he won a couple division championships at Brigham Young. But then he went in the service. And I think he was wounded in
World War II.
But now he's back in Rhode Island, and one of the fellows who he used to coach has a job at Rhode Island University, and Coffee's there every day from 3 o'clock to 6 in the evening helping him with those teams.
Mm.
And one of the nicest guys you've ever seen. And when we had the old-timers party here, Harper's Sizzle Old Timer. Mm-hmm. Of course, we were going to honor Coffee. And I didn't tell him this, but I got Mrs. Fairlamb, who's 83 or 84. Mm-hmm. I told her he was coming down.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to come over, I gave her tickets.
She presented his trophy.
And we didn't want him to meet till we honored him. That was pretty good. Came in there and he had this thing for me and he got to talk to me. And I said to Coffee, "Where's your wife?" He said, "Over there." She was sitting just across the table from Mrs. Fairlamb. Of course, she didn't know Mrs. Fairlamb.
So I went over to the table to see Mrs.
Fairlamb. And when Coffee got finished talking, he came over and sat down. Now, he's a 6'2", at least 6'2". Mm-hmm. Powerful big guy. No fat or anything.
Mrs. Fairlamb wasn't supposed to see him.
And Mrs. Fairlamb wasn't supposed to see him until the presenting this
and
thing.
She asked me where was Coffee, and I was right across the table, and she jumped right.
Well, Coffee was sitting over across the table, not saying until her tears come right down his eyes.
And she jumped right and kissed
him. She jumped up and kissed him.
Didn't wait.
She didn't wait to get out there. But you know, at her age, she danced 2 dances with him. I'm telling you, that's some woman too. But poor things now, she got operated on for a hip or something.
Diabetic.
Boy, she was great. Coffee, you want a real man, that Coffee.
He's still corresponding.
You'll be around here in February, won't you?
Mm-hmm.
How about coming over to one of our parties? I'll give you a ticket.
Hmm. Well, that may be interesting.
We've had as high as 410 people there.
Hmm.
That's roasted.
You could have more, but you don't have room.
We don't have any more room in there.
Oh.
We have them from all over.
Well, now, how did that get started?
I started with 2 fellows from Rising Sun.
Did you show him?
That plaque in there, you read that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got started.
Anyways, Paul Harvey, Cecil County Old Timer Baseball Association.
That's right.
Not just athletics, baseball.
No, it's Harvey, Cecil County Old Timer Baseball Association.
And what does it try to do?
Just have a dinner so everybody will meet at least once a year and present people with different trophies and things, you know, honor.
You honor certain ones.
Mm-hmm.
Old timers are honored.
Mm-hmm.
And they're supposed to be 70 years old. We now know.
Yeah, but some of them are not. But,
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That is the formula.
Yeah, but they found out that so many are dropping off that they better honor them before they're 70.
But you have speakers come from different places, mm-hmm. different things, get to different speakers.
Here, 3 years ago, we had one. A couple came in from California. And one from Seattle, one from someplace else out on the coast.
Arizona 5 came in last
year. Yeah, from Arizona, yeah, 5 last year. And we've had them from Alabama, mm-hmm. Texas, just to come to that one party.
Yes, but they're from here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, originally from here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, and their husbands played ball.
They were all ex-ball players.
Yes, but now he asked me when you take your money. It's not a
money-making
thing.
Oh, no, we're not.
Well, that's it.
No, we just... No, when you said that, I said that, too. It's not to make money. It's just to get together.
Mm-hmm.
You take that money each year and divide it between Harvard Community College and the Harvard Community College and see if that would pay it.
We give each one of them $100 a year.
Hmm.
In Cecil County and Harvard County. Mm-hmm.
College, community college. And
junior colleges.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And,
pardon?
I wonder, why do you think there was just so much of an interest in baseball during like the 30s and the 40s?
Well, you didn't have cars to run around and race, go
television.
No television.
And you didn't have the leniency in the family with the world that we have now.
It wasn't anything to see 500, 1,000 people these ball games around here.
I think people took more pride in their family. They didn't care what they were doing.
That's right. They would bet money.
It sounds like it was a real social event to have the whole community come out and be a part of it.
Oh, yeah.
We had all these ball players, wives, our own family, people that associate.
We won the championship in 47, I guess it was. Hazel and I just said, everybody down the house. I bet we had 100 people around that garage. That evening.
Huh.
All the good ball players were from around this section of Cecil and Harvard County.
Oh, there's the leading families of the
county. That's right.
Hmm.
But they started playing ball from the time they were little kids on up, and they kept right on going.
Mm-hmm.
This Calvin Ripken, this third base coach, the Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
we used to have him when he was 10 years old, and I was scouted for Brooklyn in those days. And he was my bat boy up here when we had a team. He was giving the signals for me when the people were watching me, and he was giving the signals what I told him to give to those players. So he knows how to give signals.
Uh-huh.
The best one of those ball players was Oliver. He's up at Chief Office, Lumberyard. But he went to the war, and he jumped in Germany, and the phosphorus gas got in his ears. Every once in a while, this little puff up and pop out of his head. He was catching one day in Aberdeen, and I'm playing center field, and he falls over, and I run in there and got him and kneeled down to him and said, I didn't tell you, Freddie. And that's what it was. Every so often it's done. But this young Calvin's son, you read about him, he's about the size of Oliver, and he's got the spirit of Oliver, so I'm sure he'll make it in the big league.
Because
Oliver could have made it any place.
Bill was a good player too, but he was mama's
mama. Well, now, did you have any idea you wanted to play for like the Orioles? Was that something you had in mind to do, or did they come up and seek you?
No, they came for me.
Your father didn't want to play ball at all.
No.
Okay.
My father didn't want me to play ball.
Mm.
But anyhow, they came to me. But I played on the best teams in Baltimore on Sundays. See, years ago they didn't have Sundays out here, and then they started Sundays. But in 1926, I played the Alcos where they used to have a circus ground in Baltimore.
Mm.
And then I went to the Orioles and hurt my leg, so I couldn't play for 2 years.
Mm.
I ended up playing for Bloomingdale on Sunday's West Ballroom, in West Ballroom. And the players who would play up here in this league on a Saturday from Philadelphia and different places, I would go to Baltimore with them back and forth. That was my way to getting back and forth to Baltimore. Three of them from Philadelphia, Quinny, Gory, and Hefty Nolan, them. And actually, a Homestead team beat the Orioles. I played with Homestead in 37. But they had beaten the Orioles before I played with them. And Charlie Keller was playing the Orioles with the Homestead when I was playing with him in 37. Mm-hmm. And then he went to the big league for three or four.
Well, by the time you took your new recruits in early or late 40s, went on that to beat the league.
Oh, yeah. We took this Aberdeen team. And
just come back to the Army.
And Max Bishop was coach out there.
At the Naval Academy.
And he promised us if we'd come down there and play, that as soon as the ball game was over, we could have our dinner. The wives and all the friends we'd take down there. So we beat them 8-1, and they say you won't eat till 6 o'clock. Well, I told them, the hell with you. And we ate on a place along the road, one of these nice places along the road. Must have been 30 of us. But they never asked us back to play no more.
Yeah, but Bishop gave you a check for $25 that bounced.
Well, yeah. They did give us a check for $25, and it bounced. So we never did go back there. Between Hazel and I, we've sent 17 kids to college through scholarships and different things and how to get them in and get them out. We've always helped all the kids, no matter from Aberdeen, Howard DeGrasse, Bel Air, wherever a kid needs help, we'd help them. And when I was commissioner, you know what I did. Well, I got the lights up at Edgewood High School, and they wanted $250,000, and I got them up there for
$85,000.
And they wanted $250,000.
And the bell.
Bell in the courthouse. They wanted $20,000 to take it off the top of the courthouse. And a man that I'd showed how to play soccer 30, 40 years before, he was a contractor, and he helped me. We took it off for $812.15. Where they had the handicapped children in Bel Air, the church, I got that church for, I think, $80,000 for the county when they wanted $150,000 for it. A certain guy wanted $150,000, I got it for $80,000. I also, collected for this fountain for Bel Air. That's later year. Now, I was up there yesterday, and there's two men. Hayden was in the courthouse, and there's two men out there scratching around the ground. I asked them what they were hunting for. They were hunting for the electric for the fountain. So I guess they're going to put the fountain up there. And there's so many things that I've helped out with that I just can't recall all of.
How did you decide to get involved in politics and serving as a councilman?
People came to me and asked me to know. I had no idea trying to get any politics. They came to me and asked me to run.
They're still asking you to run.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you what I thought?
I wasn't going to say that, but they're still asking me.
And what do I thought?
You'll kill them.
No, I don't. What do I
thought? You better get away
from
me.
You'll run your bitch from your
wife. Well, that's not going to kill them, isn't it?
No, not going to kill them. No, you're
not going to run
somebody.
You're going to
have to kill
them. Oh, my. Thing. But it's terrible.
Well, now, how has Aberdeen changed?
It's completely turned over.
What was it like growing up here?
Well, in the wintertime, they used to have sleigh races from the B&O Railroad to the stoplight, Route 40. And they had the fast horses here, too. Dan Patch was raised right out here on that field. And they had fast horses. That was a racetrack one time out there. Hmm. A private track. Not Mr. Baker. C.W. Baker owned it. And every afternoon at 2 o'clock, you'd see 5 or 6 or 7 fine-looking horses, fast horses up their own sleigh. And they would stop. The finish line was a store, Hanway and Gibson store, right where the stoplight is now, going down the road. And that would be the finish line. It would take them from there to the railroad track to get around, stop those horses that were coming down there so fast. Mm. And that was an everyday occurrence in the wintertime. Snow on the ground all the time, all winter long. Mm. My father went up to Aberdeen one Saturday afternoon, walked up, it was snowing, and he never got back to the morning. Next afternoon, about 5 o'clock, with so much snow, he was coming down in front of this schoolhouse with a bank and a rail fence, and he was coming down walking the fence to get back over here. So it used to really snow here. Mm. After the proving ground got here, the only thing opened up down there was for the big tanks to come up and knock the snow down, and this was the only road at first out here. And our brown house, which is over there now, it's not ours now, but the government took our big home over here. The commander made an office out of it. So my people moved over in this log house, which is one of the oldest houses in this town.
Mm-hmm. And
my brother was in the Marines, and war was going on. So any soldier walked up and down this road was allowed to come in and get coffee or cake or whatever we had there. So this is funny. My son married a girl from Rochester, and I was up there in Rochester, and I went in the barber shop one day. And a fellow said, "I've never seen you in here. Where are you from?" I said, "Aberdeen." "Oh," he said, "my God," he said, "I was in Aberdeen all the snow in 1917 or 18, he said, and there used to be a brown house down the road would give us coffee and cake and different things to eat. Uh-huh. And he said, "Would you know who they were?" I said, "Yeah, I was a kid giving it to you." And he had remembered it from 1918 to 1952.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the only place that would give him anything to eat up and down the road.
And your mother was the first you went down here.
She made homemade bread and cake and things like that. And when the first USO, we used to have the soldiers, Hazel and I, after I quit the proving ground, we'd have dances up there, and the soldiers were allowed to come in and at the old Aberdeen High School on Route 40. Mm-hmm.
We started the first
teenagers. That's right.
In our garage, right up there.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Mm-hmm. I was in proving ground for 7.5 years. She took care of everything. And all the kids from around this section used to be.
Well, we put a playroom up over out the there.
And we put a playground, a playroom up. We put it downstairs first. Then we put a top on it. And that used to be going. But mm-hmm. They were good kids.
Was this a big farming community?
That's all it was. Yeah.
Corn.
Yeah. Canned houses in the summertime.
Corn and tomatoes.
Corn and tomatoes in the summertime. But all that proving ground was farming.
Hmm.
Here, when Agnew was in presidency, vice president, I had this whole field behind here, all signed, ready to go for a veterans cemetery. When he got out, he just killed it. Just like that. Mm. You could bury 10,000 people out there, and they don't have any place on the proving ground to bury anybody. And they just squashed it. But that would have been the place to have it. But now what do they do with it? They're not doing anything with it. Mm. The Marylanders over there, and you've been over to Maryland. But play ball over in
Freddie, then as the girls and boys got out of high school, you started softball,
basketball
in the winter. Same with the boys.
Yeah, I put the first basketball court in Aberdeen High School on that road.
Hmm.
Then you had town boys and girls that they got out of high school. One didn't go on, one to play. You would carry them on in soccer, baseball, football.
We've been going all the time like this. We had a girls softball team. Had lights out on the old diamond there by the old high school in the
village.
This
was town. They were high school.
Town. They were out of
high school.
Town team. And we had a men's team there. Men would play. When the men would play, they might have 150 people out there. When the girls would play, they'd have 200, 250 people watching the girls play. And that's when I was scouted for Brooklyn. And Max Terry, the great ball player for Brooklyn, he wanted to take Ben Ray's daughter, that's the chief police's daughter, and my daughter, our daughter, to Brooklyn to go on a professional softball team.
Girl, softball.
Huh. And that's one time I would have been killed. But we used to have crowds out there. But Saturday and Sunday when we finally start playing Sunday ball.
And holidays.
That place would be crowded. All over. They'd come from Edgewood, Bel Air, and every place up to the ball game, plus Aberdeen.
I bet you and Reverend Groove were putting the first basketball in the auditorium. Aberdeen High School never had it.
Reverend Groove was coach
of
girls. I put the word up there. It was in the school, and I asked Mr. Wright, Mr. Willis, said, if you can do it, you can do it, do it. So, I crawled in the top of that ceiling I'd never been in before, and saw a beam up there, and the beam just happened to be right in the center of the room. And I got clamps made to clamp the steel pipe and the basketball thing up there. And then they set up on the stage, the spectators set on the stages, you know, how they
used to. They put bleachers on the stage.
Had bleachers up there. And that was a hot go on everything, too. But we've had a time with these children.
But you enjoyed it.
Those kids just loved us and we loved them.
Well, it was only two cars when they were in high school playing sports. It took them to this game. There was no you and I go.
Hayes would drive the car and I'd drive my panel truck. See, I was a registered plumber. And I had a seat. I had where I put my tools down there and take them out. And they'd put all the stuff in there. We'd take them all over the state.
Huh.
We never regretted it. Because all those children.
Well, the parents just didn't bother.
Well, they weren't.
There was no other way.
In 52, we knew all those ball players that played the Yankees in the World Series for Brooklyn. We'd see them down at Cambridge, where they had a club. I'd quit working around 3 o'clock and get my van, truck, get these guys who want to try out, like the Ripkins and Dick Hall. You know Dick Hall. And all those fellas, we'd take them down there for tryouts, and that's how they got started.
That's where the son of Kansas was, the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. That was the Dodgers farm team down. Mm-hmm. And all those fellas who played the 52 World Series, we knew every one of them. Mm-hmm. Some of them, we hear some of them asking about it. Mm-hmm. And Dick Hall, I found out where what he's doing. He's working the city of Baltimore now in some athletic thing. We stayed at the hotel down there. At Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And these boys, you know, they'd want to keep carrying on and everything. They told us, they said, now, we're not going to let them in here if you don't really make them behave. So the last time we were down there, one of the last times, Hazel and I were in one room one side of the hall, and the other room was 13 of them in the other room. It was a great big room.
On top.
And I heard a noise over there about 12:30, 1 o'clock, and I got up and went over in that room in that big Dick Hall. He was up much too long for the single bed he was in, and he had the pillow over his head and the blanket up there. And I went, boy, I said, what are you up to? They had poured liniment down this...
down his back.
Down this Bumgard, the plumber. Buddy Bumgard, the plumber.
Just stay back.
They poured liniment down his backside. And they said, he's out there on the beach. And I went out there, and it was moonlight. And you could see mosquitoes as big as my little finger on him. He was out there instead of getting in the water, sitting down in the water. He was taking the water and splashing on him. Wasn't doing any good. But that was the last one. Last year, I guess we were down there.
Huh.
Cambridge. They gave up on Cambridge. We didn't have anybody to go down there.
Uh-huh.
But we've always helped everybody. We helped everybody. Hmm. But,
then you went to scout for Rex Vaughn.
And I went to scout for Cincinnati. Rex Vaughn, two fellows used to be with Booking.
Joe and Rex Cincinnati.
Now, Joe was the second. Rex's brother was his second in command. Now, Joe's the head man in command, Cincinnati, mm-hmm. and one of them's with Pittsburgh. I think it's Rex with Pittsburgh.
Hmm.
I heard that a couple weeks or so ago.
Both of them were school teachers.
Mm-hmm. They left school teaching to be scouts.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, the best thing is when I married Hazel, we just buddy-buddy together, help out kids every place we could, help out anybody every place we could. I've gotten so many people jobs that I don't even know where I've gotten. People come in here, you help my grandfather get a job, Mr. Ball, can't you help me? So those kind of things, you know, that makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't care.
Do you remember when they built Route 40 through Aberdeen?
Oh, yeah. There used to just be one single road down through there. So narrow, and where the Grove Church is up here, that road going down here used to be the one main one from Howard Grace down, and down where Clark Conley and Joe Lee has the beer place down on the corner, that's where it came out, right there at that corner.
Hmm.
So there's been a lot going on since I was first here.
Already they built on it. Called Philadelphia Road to start
with
before the
yeah, 40. That's right. Right here at the crossroads up here, this light. You see that sign up there, 1616 or something. That's when it was started. And this log house over here that we own was right where that Presbyterian Church is now. Part of that house is log over
there. It was Ronald Jarrett's home. Mm-hmm. Church bought the land. He moved the house on his land over here and built the church on his, what he sold the land to church.
And right in the corner there, where the three apartment house, that was a store. They had a grocery store. Clothing. Sell clothes and groceries and different things. You know how an old time store used to be. Sell anything.
Country store. Then in 1917, they built the house corporation in Denver. Well, you say it.
They're the best built house in Aberdeen is Howden Corporation. Because they're built out of five by fours, not an inch and a half but two. Everything in those walls are five by fours. The government built all this for the people working on the prison ground.
In 1917.
Yeah, 1917 is when it was built.
Did things change quite a lot in Aberdeen once the prison ground opened?
Oh,
drastic. Bound to. Most of these people came here from New Jersey. They transferred them down from New Jersey. The old time, we're at Arsenal, yeah. The old timers were all down here. The Girdhams and the Burgers and all those people, they all came with a group from up in New Jersey.
Hmm.
And they had enough to fill all those houses, this housing corporation and more too.
And World War II, it came to America.
In Baldwin Manor, where Baldwin Manor got started in World War II, they wanted to take 5 acres of land up there to make single people's rooms. See? So, well, nothing to do but let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
Then later on, they came and took the rest of it.
The next year,
and built all those other places. You don't remember them. They were all two-story apartments. And then here, a couple of years ago, they were deteriorating so bad, the town was saying we'd have to tear them down. So the government came in and built those new ones involving men.
It was called HUD, Freddie.
Called HUD.
But it's still your property.
But it's our property, but they're on it.
Well, now, did you say that you had gotten, that you rent houses? Is that it, that you have houses that you rent to people around Aberdeen?
Oh, yeah. I have three partners in there.
Oh. You incorporated.
We incorporated. We have 700.
One of them?
We have 750 or 60 apartments and houses.
Swan Meadows?
Swan Meadows.
Baldwin Manor?
Baldwin Manor.
North Dean?
North Dean.
Oh, apartment, Hillside?
Apartment in Harvey Grace.
Winston?
Winston Hall. Hillside in Aberdeen.
And Del Grove.
And Del Grove right across from Presbyterian Church. We own all of the corporation.
Well, were a lot of them built to accommodate the people that were coming in? The new people that were coming in?
Not all, no.
But,
it was a Methodist church built in Winston Hall and church in Aberdeen.
That was in Harvey Grass, and then they couldn't hold on to it, and they wanted to sell it.
McGrady built Del Grove up there in Tulsa.
McGrady built that.
And King, the gypsy, built Hillside, sold it for us, Greenville. Only ones you bought in the
government. The government built all these houses over here. 299 houses over there. Swan Meadows. But the government built all those. And,
we own the property where Baldwin Manor is, and that's why it's called Baldwin Manor. And you incorporated later against my wishes if you did.
But,
sorry to say that.
North Dean was built by the government, too. And then we bought those houses.
How did the people of Aberdeen receive all these new people coming in? Were they receptive, or was there a little...
Yes and no. Yes and no. If it hadn't been for these people, I don't know what they would have done. They had about three grocery stores.
Had churches of all denominations.
They had about three grocery stores and butcher shop and a couple of them. And, in those days, maybe I better not say what I'm going to say. Turn that thing off, man. Say, 40 years ago, couldn't have been over 1,000 people in that time. 40 years. We've been married 53 years. I'm going to 77 years.
Is that right?
And I do all the log splitting and cutting for that car. That's a slick thing, though. And you can go to bed with a roaring fire in there. That aluminum, not touching it. My furnace never comes on all night long. It'll circulate in. She don't want to hear that. I have 12, 13 quart of winter every winter out of here. Wood every winter out here. But my garage is so cluttered up out there, I don't take you. I don't know what else I could tell you.
Let's see.
I've got all kinds of baseball clippings. See,
is the thing on?
I just came up as a kid. I was barred from boxing in Harvey Grass in 1935 as a professional. Well, listen to this. I was never in the ring in my life. I had a filling station down here from about 31 to 35, 36. And boys used to come up there and I'd train them how to box. I never boxed. So one night over there, they mouthed me out of the audience about grapefruit and all this stuff. I said I could whip with that. So instead of the guys that said it, they got a professional to come over there. And there happened to be a soldier down here that was a sparring partner for Jack Dempsey when he was fighting Tunney. And he was over here. He said, Baldwin, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to fight somebody over here. He said, that guy's professional. And he said, don't you hit at him first. So I go out there and to shake hands, you know, introduce. Through my nose. He split my nose open.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
So Spike Webb, who was a coach for Naval Academy, he was a referee over that night. I went after that joker so fast that he jumped out to the ring, out through the ropes. And I saw him sitting there and said, you must have hit him 50 times. So Mike Webb says, you're barred. And I blood still coming out of my nose. And I said, just like, you talking to me? Yeah. I said, well, I'm damn glad you barred me because my wife didn't want me over here in the first place. But I'd whipped him. That's the first time and last time I was in the ring. But that's the way things go. So I used to have all kinds of athletes. Everybody playing something. Mm-hmm. 1927, they had Dick Keene, that great pitcher for St. Louis. Mm-hmm. He was pitching for Elk Mills. He had won the World Series, one World Series game against the Yankees on a Thursday, but he wouldn't pitch on a Sunday, so he wasn't going to pitch that weekend. But Mr. K, who owned the Mills up there, hired him to come over there to play against Bel Air. That was 26, I think it was. Yeah, it was 26. And we beat him. And he got $1,000 to pitch this one ball game. And he brought the catcher along with him. And that's how they used to bet all kinds of money, you know. Mm-hmm. Wasn't nothing for a man to bet a car. I've seen Pete Rowe, man, bet him a car there one day. I'll bet you.
He had the Chevrolet agency.
In Aberdeen. Bet him a car that we'd beat him. You know, that's going a long ways.
Talk about the one that the ham had a film station and came to Bel Air and you were talking and he said he should have hit you in the mouth. Times the crew ran with a General Earl or Early, and his ear fell off or about fell off. And Howard Colburn, that John O'Neill didn't believe me. He went to his some of his when they had a dedication of the Woods Building at Edgewood Arsenal. You all were invited, and relative was there.
You mean know from playing was. Ball?
Yeah, then you know who yeah. they are. That's very interesting.
But what we were on first, you know.
The fellow that whoever he paid, you know where who he was. His name was Ham.
Oh, from Rising Sun. We're going to play Rising Sun. And we beat him. And that was in about...
Yeah, he was a ringer for audience.
48. He was a ringer, sure. 48, 49, something
like that. Well, down from
Philly, I think. And I hadn't seen this guy only this one time at the ball game. And we beat him. I bunted the ball and the staple scored from third base and beat him. So here I see him in Bel Air when I was commissioner, 66 or 67. And after the meeting, I said to him, shouldn't I know you? I believe I know you. He said, damn right. He said, oh, you'll punch in the mouth. I said, you're the pitcher for Riding Sun? He said, yeah, I was supposed to get $350 and only got $100. I think it was only $100. So he was going to get $350. Come to find out, he was from Philadelphia, and he was arguing over a filling station in Edgewood then. But that, of course, that was years later. Uh-huh. But all those kind of guys. And
when you played for Proving Ground,
I played for Proving Ground in 1922 under the name of Sergeant Snyder, and we won the Second Army Championship. Me pitching for Proving Ground.
How old were you then?
So we were down the. Edgewood Arsenal in about 68, I guess it was, they were dedicating the Wood Building down there. And before we had dinner, they were moseying around the officers' club, just standing around talking. I heard a voice over my shoulder, and I turned around, and I told John O'Neill and Howard Colburn about playing ball at Proving Ground. I heard a voice over my shoulder, and I turned around and looked at that man, and I said, didn't you play ball for Proving Ground? In 1922, he said, yeah, but who the hell are you? I said, I pitched for you. He said, the kid.
You were 15 years old.
I think I was 17. Anyhow, I said, yeah, the kid. You played third base or second base. He said, yep. And I don't remember names very often, but I knew his name after he told me who he was. He was two-star General Powell. He retired, and he lives at Port Royal, Virginia. And I took him right over to John O'Neill. Now, I told John O'Neill how it called me. You don't believe when I tell you this. I played ball for Proving Ground. I said, ask a general. He said, yeah, I was only a lieutenant, he said, but he pitched for us, he said. And he invited Hazel and I down to spend a week with him, talk over old times.
Yeah, but tell about it. What happened?
His wife.
Didn't he play ball, go to Washington? Somebody hurt his ear? Was he the one?
No, no. He wasn't the one with the ear. I know what you're talking about, but I can't call it. But anyhow, his sister was General Woods' widow, and they were dedicating that building to General Woods down there. Hmm. After all those years, from 22 to 68.
And he wanted you to go to Head Table and eat
with him. Oh, boy, yeah. He said, don't eat with him. Come on, we eat with him. So I ate with the family. I ate with him.
Huh.
But there are funny things like this. But
did you pay for the man, the soldier boat stepped on his ear? Was that early? Bit the toy's ear off?
That was old Uncle Earl bit the ear.
You played the Proving Ground, and a soldier didn't like an officer, and he slid in the base, and he spiked and tore the man's ear.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, I don't know that, guys. I don't remember that fellow. He went into to the basement, deliberately kicked him. Knocked his ear. Yeah, I remember.
But I told you he can't talk, right?
Well, I know about the ear, but I don't remember the name.
Oh,
see, that'd been so long ago.
It was early. Not Uncle Earl, early. Call in the Sergeant Lieutenant Earl.
Oh, that was playing soccer. I was playing soccer. He was playing goal. Lieutenant Early played soccer when we won the championship in Baltimore. And he kicked him in the ear. That was Lieutenant Early. Now, he turned out to be a general, so, too.
He's still alive.
Yeah. You never hear of him. But let me get your picture of that soccer team. I got a picture.
Indeed, you went to see Early in Baltimore, General Early.
No, you know how far.
They used to kick corn. They were called the Cannons.
Oh,
and see, we took down. That's great, Freddie. See, he didn't rehearse this, and he's asking me. It's not all coming to the way right away. I'm on the sideline, and I can bet better than him because I'm just a listener. It's coming to me quicker than it is to him.
I guess you really surprised them all how well you could play.
Oh, my. We cleaned it. We played the Wingfoots, and they had.
Now, where were the Wingfoots?
The two of the Wingfoots were professional Germans. And we played the Wingfoots, and they beat us, I think, 5-2 or 5-3, but they had two referees. They're cousins. We played Patterson Park for 15,000 people.
Everybody doesn't know where Patterson Park is.
And when Rosenblum started this club in Baltimore here about 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, I took him down this picture, one picture like that. And I showed him, I said, if you don't have hometown people, you're not going to have anybody. So what did he do? He goes down in Jamaica and hired all those Jamaicans. He played 5 games in Baltimore, and he didn't have 5,000 people to all 5 games, and he folded up. He'd bought uniforms and everything. We had 15,000 people watching us that day. We played for the championship.
Yeah, but then you were chosen to go play with them. Oh, no. You were supposed to go into South America.
Oh, yeah.
Well, say it. Oh, yeah, they don't want to be in sand.
Yeah, I was supposed to go with them.
Well,
there's the All-American prep football team.
Mm.
I went to Coward Hall.
Uh-huh.
That's me on this end.
Oh.
And that's Dick. That's Jim Horn and all the big-time guys.
Huh. Isn't that something? Now, did you stay down at Calvert Hall?
No.
You commuted?
I got it. They didn't have it. They didn't have a place to go there then.
Hmm.
Let's see. I want to get my glasses. See if this one man's on there.
I got up and went down on this 7 o'clock train in Aberdeen every morning. And I walked from the station to the Cathedral Street down there. Walking, we didn't have anything. You walk all the time.
Is it on? All right. Here's your football from your all-round prep. Tell how you were chosen all-round prep.
Well, I showed him this ticket.
That's showing, but that's not telling it. You showed it, but how were you chosen all-round prep to get this football for being all-round prep player?
That's right.
Weren't you chosen between you and Jack Wilbur?
Yeah.
Well, tell it.
I'm looking for this to see if this is Jack Wilbur here. I don't want to say something that's not right. Yeah, that's right.
Well, Jack Wilbur went to City College.
There's Jack Wilbur. Right there.
He went to City College.
And he went to City College, and we're still friends.
Are you?
We go to Boston to see him. He comes in Harvard Degree.
All right.
Huh.
And you were the one to play. You won all Maryland prep that year.
I was the top one. They picked me as the top one.
The Sun did. The Sun paper.
Sun paper did. That's
and that's
right.
The gold ball they gave you.
Is that right?
1924.
Oh. And I wear it on my lapel.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. And the Sun picked you as the outstanding player that year.
It was between he or Jack Wolbert. And Jack Wolbert was Dr. Wolbert's brother from Harvard Grace. And he's up in Boston now. And we're still friends. We visit there and he visits here. So Now, Freddie, showing that book, you have to tell what you're showing, because he sees it, but the tape has to know what you're showing.
Oh, here's another one about the Aberdeen High School. Is this on?
Mm-hmm.
I was one who got the lights put to Aberdeen High School, and here's the letter that the principal wrote to me. We appreciate your help in the completion of our football light project. You and your crew were under the service that we could never have afforded otherwise. I know that with your interest in athletics and devotion to the community of Aberdeen, you must share our pride in fulfillment of this project. Friday night at 7:45 p.m., we're going to dedicate our football lights. I would like very much for you to be there. We want the opportunity to recognize those of you who helped so much.
Mm.
See, the way we got the lights...
What year was it? Look at the top of your head in the letter. What year was that?
Aberdeen High School.
What was the date of the year?
Oh, 61. Mm. 61. We went over to Bainbridge and got the poles and things from where Bainbridge had it with the football.
And the bleacher seats.
And most of the electric lines and everything, the lights, and that's how we got them over here. And we put them up.
They gave you bleachers also.
Yeah, we got the bleachers too.
Hmm.
So that was from the high school, the first of it. Here's one from Tommy Bracken. He's a
attorney in Baltimore. He's attorney in Baltimore,
but he
one of the unions.
But he was for the union, but the government hired him to go all over the country for them.
Yeah, but you were a friend of Tommy's before.
And I played ball for Homestead in the 30s, I guess it was. But anyhow, this fella played ball. He was catching for Homestead, and I think it was 37. 37. That's what it was. 37. And about 42, I was down at my nephew's party in Baltimore, and an arm came around my shoulder. Said, "Freddie, get me a job." I said, "You want to vote a bulldozer?" "I don't care," he said. "I want to get married." And as a man on the proving ground, like I said, I had charge down there for 7.5 years. And when this man from Chicago first came down there,
charge of what for 7 years?
Cracker, everything, all the plumbing, heating, sewer, water, everything like that. Only thing I didn't have was the carpenter shop, electric shop, refrigeration shop, and the paint shop. The rest was all under me.
Hmm.
Anyhow, I said, go to this fellow in Chicago, and I have to get him to tell me this man's name, because I've forgotten it.
Mathers. M-A-T-H.
Or whatever it was, Mathers, anyhow. Mathers. And tell him that I sent you, and he'll give you a job, I'm sure. When I first knew this man, he and I didn't get along because he wasn't doing the work right.
He was dying for it.
And I would just break the pipes out of the ditch and make him put them in. But that last 2 years, I said, now listen, I don't want any money out of you or anything else. Just do the work right. So I hadn't heard from Tommy in a couple of years. I was down at my nephew's house in Baltimore a couple of years later. Arm came around that. He said, I can run a bulldozer. This guy gave him a job. So he came back here. And he was a ball player, so the head of this union down there was a ball player, too. So they hired him as a lawyer.
Hmm.
But then the government hired him and started him off with $50,000 a year. Now they tell me he's making about $200,000 a year going all over the world for him. Hmm. So just read it.
You have many things away.
Oh, isn't that something?
Huh. Well, here's our first party. I knew I had this.
Of what?
Of the old times baseball.
Harford Cecil County or what?
It was held at Harford Cecil County, and it was held in Rising Sun. This old boy was with the Orioles in 1914, catcher. Favorite Potts, and you couldn't have gotten a better catcher in your life.
Didn't he have a brother?
He had a brother, but there was no ball player like this. And he just quit the Royals and came home with the work.
Hmm.
But we had that fire hall, and here's Claude Brown, and here's Laura here, Hazel. I didn't know I had this
paper. Well, I'm going to make you scrapbook, but I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yes, sir.
You have many things I have all collected, but I don't have put in.
But we had 250 people, and Potsy made 251 because they... Only supposed to feed 250 people now.
He had many more clippings than a colored woman worked for. Just I sent her to the attic one day, cleaned the attic, and it was in a corner.
Threw them away.
And she brought it down and threw them away. That's all we had there of that case. Mm.
Here's one. You want me to talk that one to you?
Yeah, what's this about?
I didn't know you had those in there.
I didn't know it either for a while.
Brown.
I found them. Here's a little. This is the same thing, but this. I think it's the same thing, isn't it?
They're right. Let's see. No, it's a little bit different.
Let that stay downstairs, Fred. I'll get your other book. I'll put that in first in the old book, in the new book.
And it says that you helped make a city dump. Is that here in Aberdeen?
Here in Aberdeen? And was sent all over this world as the best dump in the world.
Mm.
I think I had a clipping of that in there. Let's see if I can find it. I'll show you the real one.
So that Aberdeen had more playgrounds than South Baltimore.
Well, Freddie made them.
Huh.
Different parts of the town. There was land and cleared them all and fixed them up and kind of had little children out there and they were playing.
Hmm.
And that was before you had Parks and Recreation. And the kids were willing to change and they ran. And there was no competition that you have to be better or it was a little fight.
Hmm.
Children were children. Hmm. And they took care of themselves and there were differences. Mother didn't get into it. No one else had to get into it. It made stronger children.
Mm.
They didn't think for themselves and they weren't thinking
like a lot of the things you say, you'd probably get your head in a bottle or something like that. That did not happen.
I don't know if you ever heard Nellie Nut. Not, that's Nellie. We played an old timer up in Bel Air one day.
A couple years ago, from there. He was from Darlington.
Yeah, it had the orchard, didn't he?
There are McNuts, but he didn't have the orchard. Mm. His wife was a school teacher, Tom Harvey Camp. She's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Nice family. What are you laying down? What are they?
That's some more of these pictures of that ball game at Bel Air.
Is this an old game?
Well, the time we played up there in Bel Air, that Saturday afternoon or Sunday.
When was this? Back
years
in,
ago.
Back in 28?
Oh, no. This was Nellie and all of them got together. And
before, well, I've never seen those. You've kept those to yourself.
Well, I thought you had.
No, not to my knowledge.
You've gone up here.
Well, now, is this the old-timer baseball?
Yeah, this is old Cleaver Potts, that one we honored. That's Cleaver Potts.
What year did you have Mark on? I put him on if you don't have
like 73 has the...
What?
There's a sash that says 1973.
That's probably right.
73? And it's you?
The old-timers up there in Bel Air one Sunday.
Oh, it was a group of you got together and played ball.
That's right.
That was Miss Baltimore out here now, I think, standing there. Yes, this was when the older group got, you played on the senior high school playgrounds a couple of times, the old timers from the Athletic Association of Baltimore, the old timers.
Oh.
See, Baltimore has, and he's a member there.
And we whipped them. And they never came back. They didn't like it.
And he was put in the little Hall of Fame.
Huh.
Am I correct on that?
I pitched two or three innings of that game.
You went in with Herb Armstrong. Yeah. Superintendent of schools in Baltimore.
Yeah, the Oriole uniform.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I went in there to get the dump. Got more than a dump.
You don't have the dump?
Yeah, I got it.
Monsignor, you give me all these things, and I'll put with what you others I have for you, and then I'll have them to put together when I do it. You haven't shared these.
I'm sure I don't know, Pray. Let me let them lay.
Well, you can't trust me?
I don't come up with
that. Well, you said you sure don't want
that. I bet you've never seen a dump clean it up.
No, I sure haven't. Now, where is this?
It's not here anymore. They've just right across here where they're making that new sewer plant back of Hamilton Court.
At the Court Project. Oh. You turn in there. Yes, there, to the right.
Hmm.
There's how it was when I first got it. Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I first went to town, superintendent of town.
60-52.
Hmm. That's all the smoke you'd ever see out of that place.
Hmm.
I used to go up and fish. Down back in the
old people would come up on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
Safe as it
could down be. Down behind this woods.
Mm-hmm.
Down behind that woods is a stream. Mm-hmm. So you can see the bank of the other side of the stream now.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be anywhere from 15 to 30 people there fishing every Sunday. Mm-hmm. Bring their children out there.
Ages.
They had their tables and their chairs and sit out along here below this place. And they just had a ball. And the Caterpillar Company took a picture of it, sent it all over the world. The cleanest dump in the world.
Who was the Caterpillar Company? Was that their name? Was it Alden Tractors? Alden Tractors.
See, we bought the tractors from them.
Well, you really have a reputation from these articles, and as I can remember, it being... Let's see, they title you Freddy the Fixer?
That's right. There's Freddy on a bulldozer one day. See, I'd go around there and play around with that bulldozer, clean the road, so we'd get the road down around the creek.
Oh.
Well, I had a man that worked it, and he was just as anxious to have a nice place as I was.
Uh-huh.
So So you, that was lucky to have something like that. Jack Wilbur, the one on this picture of the Allstate, we're still friends. He goes to Boston, see them, he can hardly this, to us. Did you read this one?
Hasn't happened.
I don't know, this is the same thing I guess. Was this telling about my boss?
Yes.
Yeah. That's it.
You get it for this day then, let me have a hold on.
Yeah, this is the same as the other one.
Read that.
Let's see. No. Outstanding all around athlete in the history of Harford County.
Very nice one.
Baseball, track, soccer, boxing, tennis, golf, football.
You know who I used to play against? Tennis? I never thought I could play tennis, but I must have been pretty good. I played against Herbert Arthur and Ridgely Baker, the one who just retired from or died here last year, the old timers star, the winner. There's one that Robbie wrote up.
Onshoring bridge repair, bringing down precariously mounted bell atop the county courthouse, or helping a high school football team get lights for their field. Well, I like what it says. Now the voters have recommended retirement. Perhaps it's just as well. Freddie has always been the kind of person you like to have in government, but somehow a bit more of a human being than you come to expect in the political world. I think that's a real compliment.
That's right.
Don't
tell,
don't leave.
All right.
What have you now?
You want to read this or want me to read it
too? Yeah, we need to scan a little
bit. Ah, now this is by Park Chatfield about sport chatter. And you have, oh, they even isn't that something? Now let's see, this was in 63 in the, is this the Aegis or the?
No, that's Aberdeen paper.
Yeah. Let's see. Now, the poem that you have, Ode to the Canners. The following is a reprint from the Democrat Sport page of September 21st, 1955. Do you remember that poem that they wrote in here? Ode to the Canners? Whatever became of their friends and their pals of short years ago, those fine fellows and gals, those fans that rooted and hollered for every great play, those bleachers that were crowded, happy and gay. Oh, where are they now, those fans that once cared, for the Aberdeen bleachers lay deserted and bare. Then the season was over, the tough race it was run, when the Susky League pennant conceded and won. When unloved and unwanted, our gallants went down in the postseason playoffs at Old Chesapeake Town. Now is there an Aberdeen fan who is heartsick and sore, or the plight of the Canners who were game to the core, or are so callous that our voices are stilled, caring naught for the Canners nor the traditions we've killed. For there were Jacobs and Baldwin and three Ripkins too, Farrell, Placeris, and Walker, all in there fighting for you, while Grafton and Trago were the stout-armed pair who curled out their arms, but you didn't care. So whatever became of their friends and their pals of short years ago, these fine fellows and gals? Do you remember that?
No, I don't just remember, but I just happened to pick this up. I didn't know I had that either.
Huh.
There's a lot there, Freddie.
Yeah, that really
I'm
is.
I'm gathering it up, but I can't find it.
Huh. Isn't that something? Well, that's really nice.
You see that cabinet over there?
Uh-huh.
It was in my attic, and I brought it down spatially
to
sort.
Uh-huh.
His pile, my pile.
Uh-huh.
Here's a medal from Georgetown University.
Uh-huh.
Third place in broad jump.
That was yours.
Highlands High School. Never knew it, but the fellows from Highland High School would come down and pick me up and take me to these track meets under the name of Charlie Archer. I was in the broad jumping pit at Georgetown. I jumped 21 feet, 9.5 inches or something on the first jump. They come, say, you got to get in a 100-yard dash. I said, this is a hell of a thing to put me in a 100-yard dash out of a draw jumping pit.
But you're on tape.
Am I on tape?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all right then. So I go to get in a 100-yard dash. And the guy beat me by 1.5 feet in a 100-yard dash. Where do you think he went? He went to the Olympics. In 1924.
Huh.
And the people in Highland never knew it. And the women up Highland used to kid me and carry on about ball games in Highland High School. Well, I said, well, I'm a Highland High School alumni. Well, no, you're not. And housing corporation up here, I tell those people that all rake the leaves in the street. Tell those people to rake the leaves in the street and we'd get them. One afternoon, we'd clean them all up because this thing would just suck it right up. Besides being a garbage truck when we needed it, it was a street cleaner. Every morning it was out on the street, and the streets were just clean as this garbage truck. And when you needed long pipe to haul, you just stuck it in that garbage truck.
Mm.
And then you bring it out and just roll it right back out of the thing. But that garbage truck would pack those leaves so tight that 8 and 10 foot of leaves would come out like a gun wad, not falling off. And now they got about 3 trucks running around here.
As soon as you left, they sold it.
Yeah, they sold it for $500.
That was $8,000.
Hmm.
Yes, sir. They sold it for $500 just to get it out of the yard. And the machine was worth $2,700, the leaf sucker. And I told him when I... Man wants to sell me that leaf sucker. I said, I'm not going to pay you no big price, but I'll try to sell these things for you. And people would call me up, Rising Sun, Oxford, Pennsylvania. What about that truck? I said, fine, that machine. See, to sit on the fender. Now, what they do, they pile the stuff up in a dump truck, run down the dump, and dump it.
Half of the
dump truck. It is shame. Mm. I had 24 men. I had 20 colored men and 4 white men. And when Hazel was in Florida, she used to have to go to Florida in the wintertime. Most of the time, I had a pot of soup up there for them every lunchtime. Everybody would get a bowl or a cup of soup.
Mm-hmm.
And to get the mines going good, we start playing checkers.
This was not lunch hour.
So, no, this was after work. So, after work, we'd sit there. I didn't have no place to go. Some of the men didn't have no place to go. We'd sit there at 5:30, 6 o'clock playing checkers.
Mm.
Get their minds going. So what to do? The commissioners came up there one day and saw these checkerboards. You got to get rid of those checkerboards. Too much fooling around here. I said, there's no fooling left to work here. And they were snapping into it just like this smart. I can't tell you what I'm going to say on it. Turn this thing off.
Weren't both of you actively involved in getting the flags put up? Isn't that a project that you all...
No, what flags?
The flags that the they put on for the Route 40 and then up on...
You're speaking of the Bicentennial flags.
Mm.
I was county chairman, state county chairman for the Bicentennial. And General Appel, he took Aberdeen. We had 3 municipal municipal towns, Havre de Grace, Aberdeen, and Bel-Air. And Jack Appel had Aberdeen, and he is the one that worked that in.
Oh,
I don't want to take the credit for that.
They were all under me. But he's the one. The MC didn't have that down.
You're going to have to come back and put her on tape.
I know.
I won't be on that because she can do it all herself.
But you can help her think of things.
I'm not going to quit. I thank you for coming down here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You want to put it down?
Yeah.
Talking now? Mm-hmm. I thank you for coming down here. Because this is the first time anybody's ever come down and interviewed and told us, got a story like this from me. Senator James's father was a professional ball player down south.
Roy James.
A group of them left Aberdeen to help build the Panama Canal. And when the Panama Canal was finished, they start playing ball up through the country to get home.
To make money
to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So they were about four or five from Aberdeen. I can't name them all. But I know Billy James's father was one of them. And he started me to play ball in 1920 in Aberdeen. I was 15 years old. And they were kicking on the kid. He said, that kid got more guts than all you big ones. Because it used to just be a combination who was going to play on these ball clubs.
Mm-hmm.
But Billy James's father was a real good ball player. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who started me in 1920 to play ball in the Susquehanna League when I was 15 years old.
But you honored Roy's. You honored Billy's father, Roy James, at the old timers.
Yeah, we did honor
a year ago
at the old timers baseball.
Was that honored? I didn't. Yeah,
and that's what we're trying to do for people that help out and do things like this. To honor them.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Davis, he was a good ball player around there. He came down there last year. And he brought four or five fellas from the Phillies in the Phillies front office.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought four or five fellas from this big league club.
Who was Brandon?
Brandon, yeah.
Where was he from?
Brandon from Rising Sun. Mm-hmm. I think it was from Rising Sun. He used to play Rising Sun.
And he went to Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. He went to Wake Forest. He was a fine guy, but he's sitting right in that Phillies front office now.
And Joe Gilbert used to play with him?
Oh, yeah.
He went to Wake Forest.
Piece of paper had on it. Mm-hmm. But, Joe Gilbert, Morton Hargreaves, Oil Company.
Lawson Gilbert's son.
They were all good ball players.
Hmm.
But it's just not like it used to be. Everything's turned topsy.
It's a wonderful thing when we go out and these young boys that were young boys when our son was about the same age all went around together, they still come up and say, Hazy, how are you? My name's Hazel. Hazy and Freddie. We're always Hazy and Freddie. We're not Mr. and Mrs. Freddie Baltimore. We're Hazy and Freddie. We still receive cards from all over the United States and a lot of those boys that were in school with our children. I used to be in the course I was a chaperone school dance to my school rides. That was like a lot. Really think about it. And I do it all over again.
Hmm.
All over again.
Well, sure. 37 to the end of 45, she ran the works. Had all the kids in town that would come down here in the yard and playing and carrying on. She took care of everything because I couldn't. I was room God day and night.
Well, when we had this junior proms, senior, not one wheelbarrow.
Hey, we got the flowers and everything.
Got all the flowers I had. Got the flowers, just got one of the vase, and them that came in here. No, they used to furnish the whole thing, and you'd pick them down in the car and get it to go.
No, sir. Never regretted any of them. They used to whistle them in from out here. She'd say who was whistling. One night I walked down the road, and there were all these young kids out there, and I got in there, and I started whistling. She couldn't pick this whistle out. She knew it was strange, but she didn't know it was me whistling in the group.
It was a game you'd play. They'd go, when you'd close your eyes, they'd go hide different places, and you'd call, that they were fictitious names or something, you'd call out or whatever, and then you'd get away, and you had identified.
Well, well, put my stuff away.